just uplifting and praising the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you what, I enjoyed the service this morning. How about you? Amen. It's a great service. Enjoyed the singing. It was wonderful. I love those songs that were sung. And I love the preaching. Amen. Good preaching the Word of God. I'm glad to be here tonight. Thankful to be here. I'm thankful I know the Savior. I'm thankful I believe in the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I want to break in at verse number 31. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. And we'll go through the end of the chapter. I won't keep you very long tonight, amen. But I want to preach to you what the Lord has shown me. And I want to talk to you tonight about how good our Savior is, amen. How good God Almighty is to His people. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. The Bible says, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Did you get that? He spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, for everyone, the worst sinner in the world. Amen. He raised Jesus Christ up from the dead for you and I and for the worst sinner, for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Watch what verse number 35 says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, listen to this, we are more than conquerors. Isn't that awesome? In all this, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And then it goes on to say, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the wonderful Lord's Day we've had, the wonderful message we've heard this morning. Father, the wonderful singing we've heard, just to glorify and uplift your name. And God, I pray tonight as we have another small service, you would be with us. I pray you would just give us power to preach tonight with power, purity, truth, and liberty. I pray you would speak to our hearts tonight. And Father, if there is one in our midst tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, if there is one here tonight that has never been born again and washed in the precious blood, Lord, I pray tonight the Spirit of God would get a hold of that heart, and Father, they would come and ever live and know for sure that they're on their way to heaven without a shadow of a doubt for what the Bible says. God, I pray for the Christians, Lord, you would just uplift us tonight. You would encourage us tonight and be with us tonight. Speak to our hearts tonight. I want to pray for our pastor tonight. You'll just bless him. I pray you would give him his health back, his strength back. I pray you'll be with him in a very special way, him and his family. We ask these things tonight in your precious name. Amen and amen. I love preaching on some of the books and all that Paul had written. It's wonderful what he writes down there. I like what he says. What shall we then say to these things? If you want to know what these things are, when you get home tonight, read the first part of the chapter and it'll tell you what it is. I'm not going to get into it. Amen. Well, what shall we say then to these things? He's talking about what Paul was talking about in the other verses. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I'm glad I thought of that. I looked that up and I said, Paul, why would you say if? If God is for us, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know from the Word of God that God is with us. But you look that up in the Greek, that word means since. It means because God is for us. That's what that means. He is for us, praise God. He is always for us. He died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago and shed his precious blood For us, amen. For all the sinners in the world, just for us. How come? Because He loved us. He's for us. I want to share a few thoughts tonight with you about the wonderful things that God and Jesus do for us. Amen. Number one, God is always with us and He's always for us. Amen. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what situations we go through, no matter what trials or things in our lives, God Almighty is with us and for us. The Bible says in Matthew 28:20, Jesus spoke, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He will always be there for us, whatever situation we are in. God will be there with us. God will be for us. He'll take care of our needs. He'll meet our needs. There's nothing that God does not know. He'll always be for us and with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord, He's always there for His children. Praise the Lord, He's always there for the child of God that is born again. And He'll never leave, He'll never forsake us. He's always there for the born-again Christian. And can I tell you something? He's always there for those that need to be saved. The Spirit of God speaks to hearts during the time of the preaching of the Word of God, during the time when someone hears the Word of God. The Spirit of God wants that soul to be saved, amen. And He's there for them, praying that God Almighty, that they would come and get saved, amen. That's how much God cares about us. That's how much God loves us. But you know what? He goes on to say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, if we've got God on our side, we've got all we need. Amen. Can I tell you that the Lord God Almighty has never, never, never lost a battle? Satan thought he had him on the cross when he died on the cross, amen. Oh, but that third and victorious, glorious day, he came back and rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, praise God. Listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? Satan. Satan loves to be against us. Satan loves to push us down, knock us down, make us feel humiliated, make us feel like we just want to give up. Let me tell you what, Satan's against us Christians, and he wants to destroy God's people. But we've got God on our side, and there's none more powerful than God. He's in control of Satan, amen. Let me tell you what, against us. Let me read John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. To steal and to kill. And then he said, and to destroy. But watch this. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. We can have life in our Savior. Amen. Even though Satan at times tries to get us discouraged. And by the way, the more we work for God Almighty, the more preaching you do, Brother Richard, the more singing you do. It's Loretta, right? Amen. The more singing you do, teachers, the more we teach, preachers, the more we preach, singers, the more you sing. Let me tell you what, Satan will try to get a hold of you and he'll try to mess your life up. He'll try to ruin your life. But I tell you what, don't you ever get down. Don't you ever give up. You just keep on doing what God Almighty has done for you and how He's blessed you, and keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Satan is. But I tell you what, God's on the throne. God's got it all in charge. Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Watch number 32, verse 32. But He spared not His own Son. He spared not His own Son. God is not only with us, but I'm thankful 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for us. He died for the sins of the world. And God spared not His own Son. The Bible says in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Watch this. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Him to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, praise God. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. I remember the day I was lost. I remember Jesus got a hold of my heart and the Spirit of God came into my life and I got saved. He came to seek and save. Do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember the day you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came for, to give us eternal life. And all we got to do is believe. All we got to do is put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He spared not His own Son. He came to this world to seek and to save. He could have stayed in heaven's glory. He could have stayed there Oh, but he left all of heaven's splendor and came down to this old, dirty, sinful world because he loved you and I, because he cared about you and I, because he wanted to give us eternal life. Praise God. He died for all sinners. He said over there, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. For us all, everyone. Let me tell you what. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve nothing but a place called hell. But I'm thankful Jesus Christ died. I'm thankful that he shed his blood. I'm thankful that he rose again on that third and victorious, glorious day. Praise God. And because he loved us and he did it so we could have everlasting life. Praise God. He said over there, he said, delivered him up for us. All of us. God raised his only son so we could have eternal life. You think about, I was preaching about that down at Asheville this morning about eternal life. I don't know how long eternity is. I can't comprehend it in my mind. I can't figure how long. I'm thinking, listen, I told my wife, I hope I can live to be 90 years old and still preaching the gospel, amen. But I tell you what, listen, 90 isn't nothing compared to eternity, praise God. Eternity, forever, we'll be worshiping and praising God our Savior throughout all eternity, praise God. It's just think about how long that'll be. Think about how long we'll be worshiping and praising our Savior, praise God. That's why Jesus came and died. That we might have eternal life. Can I tell you the world has no hope? The world has no hope at all. The only hope they have is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said over there, and how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God Almighty gave heaven's very best. Jesus came down and he gave his very best. How can he not freely give us all things? God meets all of our needs. Does God meet your need? God meets my need. I know God can meet your need. He'll give us whatever we need. And a lot of times, he gives us more than what we need. There's a lot of times I know in my life, God Almighty gives me sometimes what I want. And I don't deserve it. But I know God does it anyhow. He said, listen, his abundant supply he can give us and take care of all of our needs. But let me tell you what. But the greatest thing he's ever gave was his life on Calvary. That was the most wonderful gift. What did Paul say? But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. Freely gives us all things. Verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know what? Satan. You read in Job, you know about Job, how he went before God. And Satan told God this and that, and the only reason Job is doing this for you is because you've blessed him so much. There's times I believe that Satan can go to God Almighty before the throne in heaven today, and he can say, hey, listen, did you hear what Al said? Did you see what Al did? And I believe, listen, who can lay anything to charge of God's elect? Not God. God cannot condemn us. Jesus Christ saved our soul. We go to him before confession. If we confess our sins, he's able and just to forgive us of our sins. And praise God, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He looks at us. I believe he looks down through the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away the sins of the world. Forever they're gone. They're gone forever. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the deepest sea is, they're gone forever. And God looks through the blood, through the Son, amen. And sees us as white as snow. Woo! That's amazing. We're just nothing but a bunch of sinners saved by God's marvelous grace, amen. His marvelous grace. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Watch this. It is God that justifieth. You sang the song. Justified. It is God alone that justifieth. He not only is with us, he not only died for us, but praise God, he has justified us. You say, what do you mean? Just as if I had never sinned. Who in the world can say that? We're all just sinners. But God can justify to be righteous before God Almighty, just as if we have never sinned. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a great word, justified, praise God. Only the cross of Calvary and the shed blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ can make us be justified and can do that for sinners. Watch this, Acts 13:39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Do we believe what Jesus has done? Do we believe what he has done for us? Justified from all things. Watch this. From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace. Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God for God's marvelous grace, amen. God's riches at Christ's expense. Thank God for his grace, amen. His unmerited favor, his love to us that we don't deserve, but he can justify us once we get saved. And we're part of the family of God. We're part of the child of God, praise God. Romans 5:2 says, therefore, being justified by faith. By faith, we must have faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith that we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have peace with God unless we are saved, born again, washed in the blood, and put our faith and trust in Jesus, and our sins are washed away. Then we can have peace with God Almighty. Peace with God. He justified us. Justified. Watch. The next verse over there said, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. It's Christ that died. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that while we were yet sinners, the things we did, the things we went, the places we went, the things we said, and the way we acted, God still loved us, and he still died for us. Christ died for us. Yea, rather, watch what Paul says. Yea, rather, that is risen again. That is risen again. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept. There's no hope for the Christian. There's no hope for the world until Jesus Christ arose from the grave. I was listening to Pastor David Jeremiah the other day. I think it was Thursday morning or something, on my way to work. And I turned it on, and I love to hear him preach. I wish I preached like him, a little bit more quieter, a little bit more laid back, but I can't. Anyhow, he was preaching, you know what he was preaching on? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was preaching on that. And he told his audience, he said, I know this is not Easter. Well, let me say the way he said it. I know this is not Easter, people. So he does, he's real laid. I love to hear it. This is not Easter, but I'm preaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, we need to preach more of that. He said, not just on Easter morning, Brother Jim. He said, but I like to preach that a couple times a year, because without that we have no hope. We have no salvation. We have no eternal life. And it's good to preach on the resurrection more than just on Sunday morning or Sunday night on Easter. We ought to do it a couple times a year. And I believe that's true, because that's what gives us the hope, praise God. He said, he is risen. He is risen. From the grave, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and gives us the victory through that. Watch this. Watch what he said, who is even at the right hand of God. At the right hand of God. Over there, Mark 16:19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. That right hand speaks of power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the cross. Amen. There's power in Jesus Christ tonight. And he's seated on the right hand of God. What's he there? Watch this. Who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus not only died for us, he not only justified us, he's not only there for us, but praise God, he intercedes for his people. Intercedes for his people. I love to pray for my family. Mary, I spend more time, I think, praying for my family. Whew. I spend a lot of time because they need prayer. Amen. And I know some of you folks, your families and your loved ones and your friends need prayer.
And I spent a lot of time trying to pray for the people at the church. We have a little up at Asheville, we have a little prayer thing up there, and we try to pray for them daily up there. It's small church, real small church. But there's the whole paper's filled, 8.5 by 11. It's just filled with people, what they need, their health, their salvation, their spiritual, what they need. And it's good to be able to intercession for people, praise God. He said, who also maketh intercession for us, praise God. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen, he's able to save to the uttermost. He can save the worst sinner there was. You can say that fella or that woman deserves nothing but a place called hell. And neither do we. We're the same way. We deserve nothing but a place called hell. But listen, there's people praying for them. There's people that love them. There's people that care about them. And you and I ought to pray for them. We ought to intercede for those people that the Spirit of God can get a hold of their hearts and that they might be saved, praise God. But you know what? When you pray for them, or you pray for you, Jesus is praying for you too. You know that? He's praying for you. He's interceding for his people. He loves his people. He cares about his people. He cares about our needs. He cares about our spiritual desires and our spiritual wants. He cares about those that we care about. We need to pray for them, amen, because God can intercede for them, and so can we. He's at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35 says, who? You notice that didn't say, what shall separate us? It said, who? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul was saying that there was much persecution back then. He was saying that many, by the way, he was one of the ones that persecuted. Saul did before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. There was much persecution going on. And now that Paul was a born-again believer, now that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, now that he put his faith and trust in the risen Savior, by the way, that he didn't before because he was a Jesus. He didn't follow Jesus. He didn't want to follow the people that followed him. He just went out and he thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting the Christians. But now he's born again and now he knows the truth. And by the way, he was persecuted. He was, what they say, 5 times I've received this stripe, this and that, 39 times less one or something, and he was this and that. He went through much persecution, amen. As Christians, listen, I don't believe there's a lot of persecution in America, but I believe one day it could be coming in America. Listen, we might get laughed at. We might get mocked at. We might get thrown stuff at. Hand somebody a tract out, they might laugh at you. Go ahead and pray in public. They might say, who in the world is that guy praying to? Or try to go to church. What's he going to church for? Well, you can go out and do what you want to do. Listen, the world might laugh at you, but one day there could be persecution in America. And Paul said, listen, he said, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Persecution. Paul knew what it was like. He was about to go through it, but he was doing it for the glory of God. And he was doing it so others might come to Jesus Christ. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we Christians, we are more than conquerors. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we say. It's not by our actions. It's not by the things that we understand. It's by Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. And he didn't say we are conquerors. He said we are more than conquerors, praise God. Let me tell you what, that means to gain a surpassing victory. We have victory. You know that song we sing, Victory in Jesus? Hey, listen, it's because of Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. Amen. Listen, he intercedes for us, but we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't tell me he don't do everything for you. Don't tell me he don't care about you. Don't tell me he don't love you. Don't tell me he can't meet all your needs. But let me tell you, when we go through the problems and trials of life, we can be more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Jesus. Watch this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. For what? Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory in Jesus, amen. For what He's done for us. He went through the pain and the suffering. He went through the shed blood. He went through the heartache. But praise God, we just, there's nothing in this world that'll do that other than Christ. Nothing. And then I thought about this. We even have victory at the end of our lives when we take our last breath. We can have victory. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is saying, listen, death is swallowed up in victory, praise God. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Listen, we are more than conquerors during this lifetime, but when we take our last breath, praise God, our next breath will be the sweetness of heaven, praise God, and we'll see our Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Listen, He said this immortality must put on mortality. I said that wrong, whatever, but let me tell you what. We'll have the perfect bodies like Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. Throughout all eternity. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I did a funeral yesterday in Oxford for a woman that used to go to State Line Baptist Church. And I'll tell you what, as I was preaching, of course, I didn't preach like this. I preached like David Jeremiah, just sitting there real quiet and calm. I didn't say anything because I couldn't. I don't get that crazy at funerals. I don't. But I told him, I said, you know what? I said, there's hope beyond the grave. Amen. There was one woman that she just cried the whole time I was there. And it started to make me feel like I wanted to cry. And I told her, I went up to her when we were at the gravesite, and I read, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that Jesus is coming back again. This body's going to come up out of this grave one day and we'll be reunited again. And you'll see your mom again. You'll love her. And let me tell you what, I told her, I said, there's hope beyond the grave. I said, this is not the end for the Christian. And she was born again. She believed, amen. But she was sad. And I know there's times we get sad, but there's hope beyond the grave. We'll be alive forevermore. We'll be with our Savior throughout all eternity. We'll be praising God, and you'll be singing throughout all eternity, amen. And we'll be praising God Almighty for all that He's done, because there's hope beyond the grave, beyond the grave. We're more than conquerors, more than conquerors. And lastly, I want to tell this to you, one of the ones that I like the best, is that God loves us. We don't deserve the love of God, but He's so good to us. He loves us so much. Amen. Let me tell you what. He loves us in spite of our sins. For God so loved the world. You know what? You know why we love Him? Because He first loved us. He first loved us. That's why we love Him. Because He first loved us. The Bible says over there, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because He loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Isn't it good to know that you've got a Savior that loves you? Isn't it good to know you've got the Creator of the universe, the great I Am, the self-existent One that cares about you and that cares about all you're going through? But here's the thought what Paul was talking about. Read verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. None of those things, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature. I got to looking at that. I thought, Paul, what are you saying? I studied that out, looked it up. That means anything. Whatever Paul talked about there, whatever words he used, height, death, width, height, whatever, this or that, whatever, it was any other creature, anything at all, can never separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. Nothing. Think about that a moment. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I tell you something. God's love for us, for you, for me, for every born-again Christian, will never change. never change.
Amen.
I've been through it myself. There's times when we don't feel too close to God. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. There is times when it happens.
Amen.
We get so busy in the world, and we get so wrapped up with the things, and we get this, and we do that, and we're just so busy. And sometimes we just don't have enough time to pray as much as we should. Sometimes we just don't have enough time to read God's Word like we should. Sometimes we just don't come to the house of God like we should. Sometimes there's things in our life that separate us. Wait a minute. From the love of God. But see, that's us that's moving backwards from God. Here's God and here I am. God never moves. Sometimes I'll move back a little bit. Sometimes I get a little busy and I move, and sometimes I get a little distressed, and sometimes I get a little upset and I move back, but God never moves. There's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in this world, nothing. You know what? You know why? He says, I am the Lord God and I change not. I change not. He's the same God that He always was. He's the same God that loved us. He's the same God that died for us. He's the same God that saved our soul. The same God. And there's nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You think about that for a moment. Mary, would you just play a little song on the piano? How close are you to God today? God wants to be this close to you. If you're saved, He lives in your heart. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake us. He'll never separate His love from us. But the thing is, sometimes we're the ones that walk away.